Once again, it's an honor to come before the congregation and present some of my recent studies into the gospel. If you're visiting with us this evening, we welcome you. We'd love to get to know you a little bit better if you'd stay after services and spend some time with us talking, getting to know us. It's been a while since I've been up here, a little bit over 2 months. If I had known that I would have such a gap in my sermons, I probably wouldn't have unintentionally started a series. But here we are. If you can recall that far back, I'd started studying for that sermon in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, where it says, "Know this, my beloved brethren, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." I had originally intended to speak about these three factors, being quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. But I ended up with so much material just on being quick to hear that it quickly took over and became its own sermon. This has been the same situation with being slow to speak. Rest assured, I will get around to being slow to anger, but you might have to wait a few more months till we get there. So again this evening, I'm going to be presenting some material on what it means to be slow to speak, why we need to be careful with our words, and a few approaches to how we can achieve this. What does it mean to be slow to speak in this passage? I won't try to pronounce the phrase in its original Greek. I'm by no means a Greek scholar, and I would not do it any justice at all. But I do feel like you can define it better by looking at that definition of that word. The word used for slow here usually refers to something being dull or inactive. But in Thayer's Greek lexicon, he translates it as being proper. And the word for talk in this case, or just for speak, is translated as to utter or tell, or to use words to declare one's mind or disclose one's thoughts. Being proper with our speech would refer to taking the time to consider what we say before we say it. To rephrase this, it means being deliberate with our words. Undoubtedly, you've at some point heard the old adage, better to remain silent and thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. It's interesting, but there's a lot of debate on that, as to whether it's going to be attributed to Mark Twain or Abraham Lincoln. Both camps are actually wrong on this. It actually has a biblical predecessor in Proverbs 17 and verse 28, where it says, "Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise, but when he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent." In bringing this up, my point is not to say that anyone here is foolish, of course, merely that we can all acknowledge we have had moments in our lives when we've had to get in one more comment, or get our 2 cents in, or been involved in some sort of careless outburst that you regretted after the fact. You've probably heard it referred to, I know I have, as verbal diarrhea. It's very common. What's the danger of speaking out without preparation? This passage specifically speaks about the effect on a reputation, but there's a lot more to consider here. Why should we be slow to speak? In Proverbs 11 and verse 9, it reads, "With his mouth the godless man will destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge the righteous are delivered." The words we choose can mean the difference between destruction or deliverance. Again, in Proverbs in chapter 18 and verse 21, it says, it restates it with a little more power when it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruits." The words we choose, whether with careful forethought or with haste, can have dramatic and long-lasting effects on those around us. This verse specifically says that our words can be the difference between death and life for someone. We need to take careful consideration before we choose our words. Our words are powerful things. You've probably heard the old story about someone yelling fire in a crowded theater, resulting in so much chaos that people were trampled and ended up dying as a result. This actually has happened at least 3 times that I could find on Wikipedia, whether that's true or not, during the 1800s, including a theater in New York's Harlem neighborhood in 1884. In this case, false teaching, given in error by some misguided individual, resulted in massive peril and loss of life. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6 reads, "If you put these things before the brothers, you'll be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of faith and of sound doctrine that you have followed." If we want to be a good servant of Christ Jesus, we have to make sure we are speaking this sound doctrine Paul speaks about here. We want to be slow to speak to make sure that our words correspond with God's standard, his sound doctrine. If we teach or preach in error, we are subject to judgment for this. On the other hand, going back to the story I told a moment ago, during 1876, a Brooklyn performance of a play called The Two Orphans, actors on stage convinced the audience that a small stage fire was part of the play. When the entire audience of 15,000 people could have been evacuated within 5 minutes, it ended up resulting in the deaths of nearly 300 people. In this case, a lack of teaching given in this case can cause just as much destruction as one given in error. On preparing this lesson of being slow to speak, it seems obvious to focus on the slow part, the hesitance we have in delivering our words sometimes. But we need to remember that the active part of being slow to speak is that we do indeed have to speak. In Mark 16:15, Jesus commands his remaining apostles, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." This is our commission, to continue in the lasting legacy of Christ, spread his word, and to grow his kingdom. We aren't going to have any success in this endeavor if we keep it all to ourselves. That having been said, now let's look at some different facets of why we need to be slow to speak, and how we can... Now that we've looked at some different facets on why we need to be slow to speak, let's spend some time looking at how we can keep our tongues under control. In chapter 3 of the book of James, James spends the first 12 verses talking about the tongue, its dangers and power. Again, I thank Conley for reading that to us. He did a great job. And honestly, James phrases it a lot better here than I could, so I thought I would just have that read as is exactly. But starting in verse 13 and through the end of the chapter, James starts speaking about wisdom from above and how it can be used to tame the tongue. It reads, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in meekness and of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy or selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast or be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." This section encourages us to use wisdom as a guide for choosing our words. Wisdom from above, God's wisdom, as opposed to wisdom from below, which even goes so far as to call demonic here. Wisdom from below, the wrong kind of wisdom to choose our words on, is said to be based on jealousy and the selfish ambition of our hearts. Some among the early church, even spoken of here, had this jealousy and ambition. If spoken from this point of reference, it would manifest in boasting, false teaching, disorder, and every vile practice. Our point of reference needs to be a heavenly one. Wisdom from above should embed into our hearts, impressing onto us these seven traits listed in this passage here: purity, peace, gentleness, reason, mercy, fruitful, impartial, and sincere. Do we strive daily to wield our words in this manner? Let's focus on just a few of these. The time this evening is kind of short. I noticed that the list starts with purity. Why is purity important in being slow to speak? I feel like we would usually use this opportunity to talk about profanity. I'm just going to proceed under the impression that we all here know that profanity is bad and that we shouldn't swear. What I want to get across here is if we have those destructive habits, it will be a lot easier to deny them if we take up constructive habits in their place. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is pure, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on these things." If we want to create purity in our lives, we need to actively fill those parts of our mind with things that are pure. People often say garbage in and garbage out. I suppose here I'm saying purity in and purity out. Let's all strive to fill our hearts and minds with pure things so that our words can reflect that purity. The second trait listed here is peaceable, or peace. How can peace be a positive attribute in our speech? Ephesians 4 and 11 through 12, 13 reads, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Those who preserve peace will speak in such a way as to build a common faith, working towards a unity in faith. Unity in Christ should be an ultimate goal for all of us. And being reasonable, gentle, and merciful with each other will help us toward that goal. I almost feel at this point that it would be about how being fruitful as a sign of proper speech would be almost being doing a misservice to Matt this morning in his remarks. He did a great job with that. Just to cover it again briefly, Matthew 7 and verse 18 reads, "A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. If the words we speak are proper, they will result in proper practice of our faith." Being impartial in our speech can be tough. James chapter 2 talks about showing partiality of a rich person over a poor person. But in verse 8 and 9, it settles the matter. "If you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law's transgressors." We want to be slow to speak so that we can speak from an impartial frame of reference, God's frame of reference again. God is so far above us, knowing so much more about ourselves and our situations that we comprehend, than we know ourselves. Surely his wisdom can be our reference, regardless of what situation we find ourselves in. And lastly, we need to be slow to speak so we can always be sincere. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 talks about the genuineness of our faith as being more precious than gold that perishes, though tested by fire. God has always wanted our hearts. He's never made any qualms about that. He gave us life. He gave us freedom of choice. He gives us constant encouragement and guidance through his word. If we observe all these other traits and ultimately speak with sincerity, we are ultimately speaking in a manner to create this harvest of righteousness spoken at the end of this chapter. Let's take a few minutes this evening to talk about the sincerity of our faith. As a Christian, do you feel that you've fallen away or have failed to live up to your commitment to Christ? Or perhaps you haven't made that commitment to Christ yet, and would like to come before the congregation tonight and make yourselves right in the light eyes of the Lord. Please, if you're in this situation, please come before us this evening and as we stand to sing.